You are listening to The Evidence Locker. Our cases have been researched using open source and archive materials. It deals with true crimes and real people. Each episode is produced with the utmost respect to the victims, their families, and loved ones. The town of Lolol is located in the Colchagua Valley of Chile, just over 20 miles or 34 kilometers from Santa Cruz. It is a peaceful place with the main industries being agriculture and tourism. The town has just over 6,000 residents, and most of the people work on local wineries and farms. It's a place that values traditional farming methods, proudly ensuring the purity of the world-class Chilean wines. The town of Lolol is a great tourist attraction, and over 4,000 tourists visit every year. It's a great weekend spot for people from Santiago to the north and from Santa Cruz on the coast. The whole town is a national monument because of the typical colonial architecture, or zona típica. The layout is a perfect example of the colonial period, with the triangular plaza in the historic center and tree-lined streets with rows of identical homes on either side of the main stretch. The town is located in a small valley, surrounded by hills. If one didn't know any better, you'd think you were in Spain, or even Italy. Lolol is a town where nothing much happens, and that's how people like it. Locals who live in the town or the surrounding areas don't want to leave. With great quality Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Sauvignon, who needs to be anywhere else? But on July 12, 2012, two murders so shocking and unbelievably macabre took place. An incident that shattered the peaceful image of this town forever. The media reported that following the murders, the streets of Lolol were desolate. Nobody dared to go outside. Town Mayor Marco Marin said that the crime would mark a before and an after in the history of Lolol. This is the story of Oscar Lopez Rodriguez and the terror he inflicted on a small town in Chile. Oscar Lopez Rodriguez was born on the 1st of November, 1972, in Lolol. When he was only 20, he married a woman called Sandra Andrea Poblete Gallete. The couple had one son together. In 1997, the 25-year-old Oscar left his family to go live in Los Bolos, near Santa Cruz. He started a new hobby, collecting antiques, old lamps, wooden cartwheels, and iron gates. He cycled around, looking for all sorts of things that could possibly have any value, with the intention of restoring the items and selling it. He became more and more withdrawn, and eventually moved away to Los Robles, a short distance from Lolol. During this time, he lived in an ecological community of about 15 people. Members of the community kept to themselves and reject traditional society and societal norms. It was a Christian-based religious group that is dedicated to living off the land, only eating food that they produce themselves. They didn't send their kids to school and shut themselves off from the outside world. People outside of the community do not know exactly what happened behind the locked gates. It was believed that Oscar was expelled from the community because of behavioral issues. But according to him, he decided to leave after the earthquake of February 27, 2010. He moved into Lolol town. He had been living in a room in an old adobe house. Oscar was not one for paying rent, so he moved around quite a bit. Although they had been separated for a while, Oscar and Sandra's divorce was only finalized in April of 2011. It was a fresh start for him, and he had plans to explore his passion for antiques and open a store. He found a home at 145 Los Alerces Avenue, across the road from the Lolol Fire Station. The antique store was located in the front, and Oscar lived in the back. To explain, it wasn't an antique store as such, but it was somewhat more of a junk store, where all kinds of odds and ends could be found. Some restored iron gates or grids, renovated furniture, old lamps. It was not really a refined catalog type of shop, more along the lines of a glorified scrapyard. His customers were mainly tourists who passed through the town, well-to-do people who were also aware of him as he was sometimes able to source some or other rare antique relic. The residents of Lolol were curious to learn more about the new man in town. Everybody knew that Oscar had lived in the ecological community before, and people were intrigued by him. He had long hair and a beard, and neighbors referred to him as El Hippie. When a neighbor's daughter fell ill, he recommended a remedy made from local flowers. He had a mystical air about him that intrigued people who met him. But before long, it surfaced that he was rather weird, an introvert with strange ideas. He saw himself as godly. In fact, his long-haired look was inspired by Jesus. Oscar was a loner who claimed to be the envoy of God. He claimed that he could converse with superior beings and with God. He would also mumble to himself while he was doing the rounds in Lolol, saying that he was going to kill people. And he would always add that he was going to cut off his rival's head after the duel and wear it to the cemetery as a hat. "He is waiting for his head to be cut and thrown in a box," was another thing that he would say if anyone upset him. Townspeople honestly thought that he was a harmless eccentric who had some mental health issues. Nobody took his rambling seriously. Because Oscar was relatively new to the region, he did not have many friends, and he had no known family living nearby either. He was an antisocial and bizarre man who seemed to spend all of his time with his dog. One neighbor said that he was rather unfriendly. He did not greet anyone, and when he approached someone, looked down. He had bad temper and aggressive behavior. We never knew if he had family because nobody visited him. Only the clients who came to buy antiques and the goats pitied him. By dressing up like anime characters when he went about his business in town, he drew a lot of attention to himself. He had sticks that he waved around like they were samurai swords. People stood back as he fought an invisible enemy. I made sure they did not end up in the crossfire. The newspaper, El Mundo Rural, visited the area in April 2012 and used Oscar in their feature about Lolol. He was described as a modest man who has worked hard in the countryside with a shovel and the plow, but his life is devoted to visiting houses and rescuing antiquities which he repairs and sells to wealthy families. The article also pointed out his ability to ride his bike with his dog Valentin standing on it. It was a tandem bicycle, and the dog stood on the seat with its hind legs, while its front legs rested on the handlebars. In the same interview with El Mundo Rural, he said, "My dog is a self-regulator in balance. This he learned from the last earthquake, because when he saw me leave so desperately from my house on the bike, he climbed on the grill to accompany me, and he keeps that custom up to this day." Oscar idolized his dog and told everyone that Valentin was going to save humanity. He was the next Messiah. Because of his outrageous stories and strange behavior, El Hippie became El Loquito, or the crazy one. There are a couple of stories about Oscar that made an impression on the people of Lolol. On one occasion, he visited the town's municipal offices and applied for the exclusive use of a road. It was a stretch of road just outside of town on the way to Santa Cruz. When he was asked why, he told them he planned on having a duel with his enemy. The enemy was a local man whom he did not get along with. Oscar handled the whole situation like he was a cowboy living in the Wild West, and officials weren't sure how to handle his request. When they denied it, he was outraged. He said that nothing would stop the duel from taking place, and that once it was done, again, he would take the head off of his rival and wear it to the cemetery as a hat. Neighbors told police that he would sell marijuana to young people from the area. They were always hanging around his place. There were theories that the ecological commune grew and supplied the marijuana, then sent it to Oscar to sell. This has never been confirmed. He was also seen on many occasions doing samurai moves in his back courtyard, and neighbors felt that he had the tendency to be violent. He loved the Quentin Tarantino film Kill Bill, particularly the use of knives in the film. He became obsessed with anything that had a blade, sabers, knives, swords and axes. Another man living in the area was Juan René Duarte Becerra. He was born on the 7th of January 1956. Juan lived in Lolo his whole life and worked as a farmer. People in the region affectionately referred to him as Don Juanito. Juan married his wife, Maria Adriana Rodriguez Espina, in May 1976, and they lived a happy and peaceful life in the Colchagua Valley. Juan was known as a good man who did not shy away from a hard day's work. He worked as a seasonal farmer at the Viña Casa Silva estate for 20 years. It is an exclusive wine estate with a restaurant and hotel on the farm, one of the main attractions for wine lovers who visit the area. In the summer of 2012, Juan was on medical leave as he had had a surgery to remove a hernia from his spine. On Tuesday afternoon, the 10th of July, Juan told his housemaid that he was going to Oscar Lopez Rodriguez's store to purchase an iron rod. He had also seen an old little table that he was thinking about buying. Don Juanito's wife was concerned when he had not returned home for dinner. She tried to call him, but his cell phone just rang and rang. She spent the whole night trying to find him, but he was nowhere to be found. The day after his disappearance, she tried calling his cell phone for the umpteenth time. This time, it rang, but somebody silenced it after a couple of rings. The following day, July 11th, Juan's family filed a missing persons report with Lolo police. The next day, a 46-year-old woman called Maria Jose Reyes, who was traveling in the Lolo area with two of her four children, stopped off in the picturesque little town. Maria was born on the 26th of June, 1966, and lived and worked in Santiago. She worked as a physical education teacher for 15 years before she resigned to spend more time with her family. She was married to Wenceslao Fernando Montero Sanchez in 1989, and the couple had four children. Her family affectionately called her Cote. Maria was known to be a special teacher who made a point of it to give personalized attention to all of her students. One of her students said, "She was a great woman, an excellent teacher, one of those who treat you like a mother. After meeting her, I will never forget her." Although Maria didn't work full-time anymore, she started working at Colegio El Golf in Vicatura, where she created a class called La Academia, or the Academy. It ran a workshop for high school graduates with special needs to prepare them for employment. A friend recommended the antique shop in Lolo when she heard that Maria was remodeling her home. On Thursday afternoon, the 12th of July, Maria drove with two of her children to the Moore family farm in the Bucaruca area, where they would spend their winter holiday break. On the way, they planned to visit the antique store in Lolo. The Colchagua Valley was only a 2.5-hour drive south of Santiago, and Maria's husband and two other children were to follow in a second car. It was Maria's idea that the family have their vacation in the region as the climate was mild, and the stunning scenery made for an idyllic break from the hustle and bustle of the city. They also had family down there, and it was familiar to them. When driving down, Maria would usually stop in Lolo to stock up for the vacation. Her 19-year-old son Lucas was driving her van by the time they reached Lolo. He parked while Maria and her daughter went inside of Oscar's ramshackle store. A minute later, he was walking to join them inside, but that's when he froze in his steps. He heard multiple thumps and then screaming. But before he could get inside, the store's mesh door flew open and he saw his sister hysterically screaming for help. He rushed inside, where he witnessed Oscar Lopez Rodriguez stabbing his mother with a knife in an unprovoked attack. While her children screamed and shouted at him to stop, he wielded his knife at them, forcing them out of the way so he could carry her body to the front veranda, where he dropped her on the floor. He took the large blade that he had in his hands and raised it high above his own head, samurai style. And then he dropped it down in one dramatic swoop, and beheaded Maria in front of her own children. Lucas tried to defend his mother, but it was too late. He realized that Maria's assailant would not stop the attack, and together with his 15-year-old sister, they cleared away as quickly as they could. Restaurant owner Mario Bravo, whose restaurant was across the street from the antiques dealership, heard the screams of Maria's children. "They're killing our mom! They're killing our mom!" Mario was only a couple of yards away and saw El Loquito on the veranda. Oscar Lopez Rodriguez called out to the children to look at him as he grabbed Maria's hair and picked up her head. He displayed it to her children, raising it up, holding it high like a trophy. Mario Bravo was mortified, but managed to think on his feet. After making sure that the teens were safely inside of his restaurant, he alerted authorities. Police officer, 26-year-old Felipe Gonzalez, was on duty and received a call-out to Los Alerces Avenue at 1:35 p.m. On the line was Maria's 19-year-old son, Lucas, who told him that the shop owner had killed his mother. And being just around the corner, Felipe was already on his way. Soon, extra reinforcements arrived at the address. Police entered through the courtyard and made their way to the scene, where Oscar was still standing over his decapitated victim. When police arrived, he would not back down. They urged him to stop the attack and warned him that they would shoot if he did not back down. But he wouldn't budge. He wielded his knife and threatened the police officers, who then fired two warning shots. Still undeterred, the crazed Oscar launched his attack, but before he could reach them, he was shot down. "The man was crazy, beside himself, and I just defended myself," said Carabineros Corporal Felipe Gonzalez about the attack. By that time, a crowd had formed outside of the store, and it did not take the media long to catch on to the story. When Juan Duarte's family saw the live broadcast from outside Oscar Lopez Rodriguez's store on television, they immediately called police and reminded them about Juan's disappearance just 2 days before. The last information they heard was that one of Oscar's neighbors saw Don Juanito talking to Oscar outside of the antique shop just 2 days before, and that was the last anyone saw of him. It was a brazen and brutal attack on Maria. What shocked villagers the most was the fact that it took place at 1 p.m., one of the busiest times of the day in that part of Lolol. It was also payday, and many people were around. Everyone always thought El Loquito wasn't all there, but they never thought he would ever resort to such horrific violence. Forensic technicians processed the scene on the request of the prosecutor. This is when they found more than they had bargained for. The decapitated head of a second person was discovered, hidden in an old trunk that was for sale in the shop. The rest of the body was found outside in the courtyard, buried beneath a pile of rocks. The body was that of missing farmer Juan Duarte. Defensive wounds showed that Don Juanito fought for his life in a vicious attack. Oscar stabbed him in the back multiple times and then beheaded him. The theory was that Maria Jose Reyes was unfortunately in the wrong place at the wrong time. As she was browsing through the store, she must have opened the trunk, saw Juan's head, which triggered the sudden attack. However, her daughter did not remember Maria opening a trunk at all. Searching the antique store, police also found 20 grams of marijuana and then another stash of 400 grams. Reports of the senseless murders made national news, and Oscar Lopez Rodriguez was dubbed the Monster of Lolol. After the two murders and the death of Oscar Rodriguez, missing persons reports were filed for two local people. Both had a connection with Oscar in the past, and their families were concerned that they had suffered the same fate. One of the confrontations even led to a brawl that had to be broken up by police. This happened 5 months before the deaths of Juan and Maria. Manuel Fuenzalida Pina went missing in March 2012. He was last seen when neighbors on the Los Alerces Avenue saw him talking to Oscar. However, no other remains were found inside of Oscar's house. Cadaver dogs searched the property, looking for more victims, but could not find anything. They searched an area of 5,000 square meters, On this land were also a couple of wells, so police divers were brought in to investigate, but they did not find anything. Police wondered how many more people would come forward. In an effort to follow up on the missing persons' cases, they identified an area of about 10 miles, or 15 kilometers, from the site of the incident where Oscar lived about 4 years before the murders. Chilean Police Special Operations, or GOPE, specifically investigated the area around a big wheel that was lying in a field, but again, there was nothing. Police went to all the houses in which Oscar had lived in the area and confirmed that there were no other victims. Because Corporal Felipe Gonzalez killed Oscar Lopez Rodriguez on the day of the attacks, there was an investigation to see whether his actions were warranted. Before his hearing, he said, "I am calm, because I have the support of my command and of General Alejandro Contreras. Also, because I acted in accordance with the law." It was concluded that he acted within the stipulated norms and no case was brought against him. But the damage was done, and the trauma of the events of that day haunts the young officer to this day. Dr. Luis Risco, specializing psychiatrist at the Clinical Hospital of Chile, believes that Oscar's could be a case of chronic schizophrenia or a delusional disorder. The fact that he dressed up like anime characters in public could be a sign of this. He particularly liked to dress up as Goku of the Dragon Ball series, using sticks strapped in a cross onto his back to serve as his swords. In the series, Goku is a mighty warrior who protects the planet against anyone seeking to destroy it. The prosecutor ordered a psychological autopsy. At the time, no one had heard of such a procedure. It was a new jargon to law enforcement in Chile. What it meant was that they were looking for evidence of the perpetrator's mental state at the time of the crime. Where a physical autopsy would test for signs to the body, a psychological autopsy tested for signs of the mind. The purpose of this was to confirm that the killer acted alone and to determine what his motive could have been. To psychologists, this was not a new notion. It has been done for years at the request of the prosecutors in charge of the cases, usually to determine if the death of a person was caused by suicide or by the action of third parties. The only difference was, now, the procedure was labeled a psychological autopsy. Dr. Risco explained how they would go about to gather the psychological evidence. It is a procedure that is carried out with the testimonies of the family and people who usually surrounded the perpetrator. This way, we arrive at a diagnosis as accurate as possible of what led this person to act the way he did. The doctor also, in his opinion, adds that the use of drugs is investigated, for example, things that have decalibrated the mentality of the person. In the case of Oscar Lopez Rodriguez, Dr. Risco concluded, "I think it was not drug use, but a problem of chronic psychosis that was left untreated." The results of the psychological autopsy were made public 2 weeks after the murders and pointed out that Oscar Lopez Rodriguez suffered a transient psychosis, mystical delusions, and bizarre behaviors. Dr. Risco added that, on more than one occasion, Oscar was already out of reality. He was listening to orders as if he had to save humanity. Renowned Chilean psychologist Alex Droppelman commented about violence as a cause of a psychotic break. "The first thing to do is to look for bizarre behaviors, behaviors outside of the social context in which they live. When a guy walks around like a pirate and lives as such, it is a behavior outside of the space where he finds himself. The second question has to do with regard to delirium, like saying things that are not related to reality. If the text of a delirium is far from the context of reality, it should make us think that we are facing a case of psychotic break that should be addressed. 30% of psychotics can be paranoid, 10% of paranoid psychotics could attack, and 3% could kill." Droppelman based his statement on studies conducted in the United States and Germany. The only time Oscar's strange behavior ever got onto police radar was when he hit people with a stick after putting on a samurai-esque movement display at a town fair. Shortly before that incident, Oscar told a man named Ignacio Romero, "God sent me to kill someone from time to time. God ordered me to become a shaman." Oscar swore that he talked to God every 3 days. Ignacio did not take him seriously and thought that Oscar was talking nonsense just because he had smoked too much weed. But his obsession with sticks, that he pretended were swords, was common knowledge to everyone who knew him. His daily routine went something like this. He got up at 6 a.m. and did his morning exercise. The routine included lifting a 220-pound or 100-kilogram oak trunk and using a straw sack a neighbor had given him as a punching bag. In hindsight, investigators wondered if the murders were planned. As messenger to the Messiah, which Oscar professed he was, did he believe he had to kill? Perhaps his morning regime was preparation for an execution and not merely a daily fitness workout. On the Thursday morning of Maria's murder, a neighbor saw him carving roots he had collected. He used the knife with swift precision. Coming from the ecological community, he often used plants and their roots for medicinal purposes. Oscar Lopez Rodriguez did not have a concerning criminal background. He had only 2 charges against him, one for theft and another one for the fight he was involved in February 2012, 5 months before his death. The theft was probably committed as he was collecting things to restore and sell. Whether he intended to steal the item or not is unclear. The sad thing is that this man was a loner. People avoided him because he was strange and behaved in an unconventional way. If he had a network of friends, perhaps someone who would have encouraged him to get help, who knows what could have been. None of the hospitals in Lolol or Santa Cruz had any records of Oscar ever receiving any mental treatment. Even though the psychological autopsy provided some explanation, it did not undo the damage that was done. 2 lives were lost, and their loved ones were facing life without them. The body of Juan Duarte was mourned at his mother's home in Lolol on the 13th of July, 2012, a day after the discovery of his remains. During the early morning of the following day, after an evangelical prayer, his body was buried in the municipal cemetery of Lolol. The funeral was attended by hundreds of Lolol residents. Also on the morning of the 13th of July, relatives of Maria Jose Reyes arrived at the Legal Medical Service of San Fernando, where the autopsy was performed. They escorted her remains back to her hometown of Santiago. The next day, more than 500 people attended the funeral of this beloved member of the community. Maria's husband was touched to see so many people at her funeral. In his eulogy, he remembered the wonderful 24 years together. Their daughter, Josefina, also spoke and said that her mom was the best in the world. Back in the Colchagua Valley, Lolol locals were unsettled by the thought that they had been to Oscar's store, and it could have very easily been them who ended up murdered. Some residents called for Oscar's house to be demolished to wipe away the reminder of the crime. The Colchagua Valley is known for its superstition and legends. Myths passed down from one generation to the next include stories of witchcraft and pacts with the devil. People wondered about the time Oscar spent living in the community in the hills. Was there a chance that they were a cult? Did they influence Oscar to kill people as human sacrifice? The diabolical crime ruffled feathers in the community, and a deep fear overcame the people. What if the devil wanted more? Rumors went around, saying that Oscar was involved in black magic. This made the town fear that there was a bad spell or a curse. The night after his death, Oscar's body was claimed from the medical service by his son. His body was waked at his parents' home in Los Boldos, near Santa Cruz, and was buried the following day in the cemetery of Santa Cruz, in a ceremony attended by about 100 people. His former wife Sandra did not attend his funeral. Oscar's family was mortified that he could have committed such a violent crime. They publicly apologized to the families of Juan Duarte and Maria Jose Reyes. His nephew, Francisco Lopez, made a statement moments before Oscar Lopez was laid to rest. "We sincerely apologize to the other families. At no time would you have wanted this." A week after the murders, during a nationally televised interview, Oscar's son was also of the opinion that the ecological community in the Los Baldos Hills had something to do with the incidents. He said that his father changed after joining the community. It was where Oscar's downfall began. He also wondered if Oscar acted alone in the murder of Juan Duarte. His theory was that someone else might have killed Juan, and when Maria saw the evidence, Oscar lost his mind and killed her. Young people from Lolo visited Oscar's home at night to buy weed. Nobody saw anyone else hanging around the store on the day Don Juanito disappeared. In a tragic story of loss, Oscar's family was mourning the death of someone they loved too. Their grief was riddled with guilt and regret, upset that they never realized how unwell Oscar was towards the end. Oscar's family cleared up most of the junk spilling out onto the front veranda of the home, but they left his beloved dog, Valentin, behind. In the week after the horrendous murders, neighbors were haunted by the sound of Oscar's dog howling at night, the sound echoing through those empty streets of Lolo. If you'd like to read more about this case, have a look at the resources used for this episode in the show notes. Also, visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/evidencelockerpodcast to see more about today's case. If you like our podcast, please subscribe in Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. We would also appreciate it if you could review the episodes, as it gives us some street cred in the world of podcasting. This was The Evidence Locker. Thank you for listening.